This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I am your host, Brian Walker, and today our guest is Michelle Travis, who is one of our own at Shop Marketing Pros.
Hey.
She is our SEO team lead. And today we are going to be talking about the topic of great ways to get your Google business profile shut down.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Yeah, it's not a good thing, y'all.
No.
This is not something that you want to do. And we do see it happen more often than we would like to.
Yes.
But before we get into that, I want to thank our friends at RepairPal for providing this episode. As shop owners, we were part of RepairPal's certified network. You can learn more at RepairPal.com/shops. Well, hey, Michelle.
Hey, Brian.
We got a fun topic to talk about today. Not fun when it happens.
It's definitely not fun. It's definitely stressful.
We're often the ones who get the responsibility of trying to get these Google profiles back up.
Yeah, we become like firemen.
Yeah.
Almost.
We're almost never the ones who get these things shut down.
That's correct.
But it always comes back to us.
Yes, it really does. It's one of those things where, in some cases, seeing the signs that one of our clients' listings was heading in that direction. And we've tried to warn them, you know, hey, if you do this, this has the potential to go against Google's violations. And the possibility and or the ultimate thing that happens is Google will suspend your business profile. You know, when that happens, it just becomes, hey, this happened, and it's frantic, and it's like, now what do I do?
Because it's costing them a lot of money when that Google profile is down.
Yes.
People underestimate how much business comes through it.
Yeah.
People that already know your business that are searching for it by name.
Yes.
They usually don't make it to your website. They've got all the information that they need.
Right on the listing.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's unfortunate. And then also, you know, during that time, if somebody is searching for a specific key term, and if you have especially a niche business where you do just diesel repair or RV repair or something like that, you know, we've seen where a listing went down for, you know, over a day and you'd search like RV repair and a competitor comes up, you know, and that's just like, oh, to the heart.
Yeah. And to drive the point home about how much business people can lose. Last week, we saw where a bunch of Google tracking numbers got rolled out.
Yes.
To Google business profiles.
Yes. Only on mobile.
We knew nothing about this. Yep. Yeah. Only on mobile.
Yeah.
We had one of our clients that reached out to Kim actually and was like, hey, my phone is ringing like a third of what it normally does. We started digging into it and come to find out that Google rolled out these tracking numbers. The tracking number has to forward. And when they did the forward, it didn't go to his phone number.
No.
It was just going to some random guy who was like, yeah, I've been getting a lot of phone calls for your business.
Yes.
We went in and checked like, you know, all the other ones and didn't find his was the only one that was going to the wrong person. But 2/3 of his phone calls dropped off.
Yes. And we didn't know anything about it. That's the thing about Google too. Like they will roll and it only was with your listing on mobile view, not even on desktop. And it was meant to be helpful to be able to track if your phone calls were coming through your listing or maps, you know, but in cases, you know, tracking numbers break, things like that. And so
I wish Google would just call us and be like, hey, we did this thing last night.
I know we could have so much more of a working relationship with them. Like it's like a toxic relationship. It's good, but it's not.
Yeah. All right. So what would be the most common thing that you see that will shut down a Google business profile?
One of the most common things that we see is keyword stuffing your Google listing, starting with the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Specifically that name. So somebody has auto repair shop in Hammond, Louisiana, and I'm just going to go with the name of my business. It was Peak Automotive. So instead of the name being Peak Automotive, they might put something like Peak Automotive - Auto Repair Hammond.
Yeah. That or Peak Automotive - Auto Repair or Peak Automotive - BMW, Mercedes, Mini, Volvo, Audi, Jaguar, Porsche, Land Rover Repair in Hammond, Louisiana.
You just said Jaguar?
Oh.
Jaguar.
Jaguar. How do y'all say it down here?
I don't know. Jaguar.
That's the mix of the North and South coming together.
Yeah. So those of you who don't know, Michelle is a Pennsylvania Yankee who now lives in the South.
Yes.
But anyway, we see that a lot, where these keywords get stuffed into the business name and it will get your Google business profile shut down.
Yeah.
And I think what happens a lot of times is your competitors will see that and they can report the profile.
Absolutely.
So there's a way right there on the profile to report it. You know, Google's, I wouldn't say that they're out there just like often checking these things, but having that profile reported is a big thing. And look, it works to stuff those keywords in the name.
Yeah.
But it's not worth having your Google Business profile suspended.
It's not.
You know, and especially if you have like multiple infractions for there to be a permanent suspension of it.
And that's the thing I don't think people understand is just, you know, we were talking about it being a relationship. You're building trust with Google. And even though Google is like essentially like a computer, a bot, whatever, it has come so far that it's just like a person. And so if you start showing these red flags like this or being reported, like Google remembers that. It keeps track of that. And when there's too many red flags, they will break. That's it. You know, we'll break trust with you. We don't trust you. We don't trust your business. And once that trust is gone, just like in a regular relationship, it takes a long time to build that trust again.
Yeah.
And so a suspended Google listing will do that as well. It'll not only damage, like you'll lose that business if it goes down, you'll lose that trust with Google and have to work like harder. And so that also falls on us as well. You know, if we have a client who's, you know, working with other companies or things like that, you know, just for that extra boost, we follow certain practices, white hat, as we call it in the SEO world, practices specifically because we want to do things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it might take us a little bit longer to rank you, we'd rather do it that way than what could happen if we don't.
That's what people don't understand is that when you start doing black hat SEO, you are creating such a risk for your business. Every time that Google does an algorithm update, we can see some pretty wild fluctuations.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're doing black hat, the fluctuations that you can see in your rankings can be dramatic.
Dramatic.
Because usually the algorithms are looking to fight black hat SEO.
Yeah.
You know, Google's job, the thing that they sell to the consumer, you know, and when I say the consumer, I'm talking about the end user, the person who is searching. The thing that they're selling is search results.
Yes.
And they are in the business of giving an extremely high quality search result when someone is searching to give them results that are exactly what that person is looking for. And when you're doing black hat SEO, you're essentially tricking the system.
Yeah.
So you're trying to take a result that is not as good and get it to show up in the rankings.
Yeah, first.
So basically you are diminishing the quality of the product that they provide.
You're being a con man.
Yeah. I mean, when they make their algorithm updates, it is very often to combat black hat SEO techniques.
Yeah.
So when we do white hat SEO, we don't see the wild fluctuations that you will when you're seeing black hat. So, you know, white hat really, it does take longer, but it is safe.
It's safe.
Even when we see a algorithm update that, you know, has some pretty wild fluctuations, it always comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time it comes back. And it's because we're using white hat SEO to truly build these websites up as the, like the authority on the topic of auto repair.
Yes. The risk versus reward is not worth it.
Yeah, definitely not.
So the next thing is using PO boxes or virtual office addresses.
Yeah. So this is for you mobile guys.
Yeah.
This is not going to be something that is going to be very applicable to actual brick and mortar shops.
Right.
Because they have a real address.
Mm-hmm.
But when people don't have an actual address, they will sometimes buy, you know, they'll go get a PO box. Mm-hmm. And in reality, you know, Google has made it where you don't have to do that as much because of the service area listings.
Yes.
But still, service area listings can be a real bear to get them to rank.
Yeah.
You know, so they're always trying to trick it. They go get a PO box or a virtual office and claim that that's their address.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's not.
And there again, they're trying to trick Google.
And then you get a flag and then you have to provide information to Google to, you know, re-verify the listing. And if you don't have that information to send into them that has, you know, all the correct paperwork, then you could get your listing suspended.
All right. What else?
Next is using your home address for a service area business. And this is for mobile mechanics as well.
That would be something that would be more commonly done than even the virtual businesses. Now, I see people do it all the time, and I haven't personally seen a Google listing get shut down for this.
Yeah.
But I know that it does happen.
It does. And it also makes verifying the listing or having to you're going to have to re-verify the listing when that happens. And then it makes it really hard to get it verified.
Yeah.
You have to jump through hoops in order to prove it or to get Google to accept it. The same with a phone number. I've seen that a lot. We've had clients who started out a business or their listing with their cell phone number and then wanted to get it changed. And it took us 6 months or more to get that phone number and their home address was on that listing as well,
mm-hmm.
updated. It was a process.
Yeah. It's not incredibly uncommon for people to be running a business out of their home.
Right.
But what Google will tell you when it comes to these listings is that for you to be able to have a listing, you need to have signage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have signage at your home, and I think that signage even has to be a certain size.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have that signage at your home because, you know, your HOA doesn't allow you to run an auto repair business out of your home.
Right.
And look, I did this after I shut down my shop in 2008. I had a lift in my garage.
Yeah.
I was doing mobile repair, but the larger jobs, I would bring them back to my house
mm-hmm.
and do them from home. And now I did not set up a Google business listing for that.
Yeah.
But it's something that does get done a lot.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the signage at your home, if you're trying to hide it from your HOA, you're not going to be able to get away with that for too long, probably. Yeah.
And even you run the risk of just your competitors, reporting your listing, your homeowners, the HOA members, other people who live near you,
yeah.
you run that risk, same risk with that.
I love talking about sponsors of the podcast who have already worked with and who I've used before. So today, I'm super excited to talk to you about RepairPal, which, if you didn't know, will introduce your shop to new customers through RepairPal.com, the largest site for auto repair, and through the recommendation of their partners like USAA, CarMax, and Consumer Reports. Our shop was in RepairPal's certified network, and it was great for getting new customers who were looking for more than just oil changes. The average RepairPal customer spends over $600 on their first visit. I loved it, especially because we all know that consumers still mistrust repair shops. But the millions of customers that visit RepairPal.com monthly, they trust RepairPal certified shops for their high quality and great service. And there's no fear about being overcharged, so we were able to just focus on the repair. I highly recommend you check them out. It's the way to grow your business. Go to RepairPal.com/shops, get 1 month of service free, and save $150 off certification. What's next on the list?
All right. Making major changes to your information, like your name, address, or phone number.
That's a legitimate thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has to, you move your business.
Yeah.
But sometimes it can get shut down. And usually in a case like that, it's pretty easy to get it back up.
Yeah.
As long as it's legitimate.
As long as it's legitimate and you have all the paperwork that you could submit to Google, it should take under 24 hours. I mean, there's no guarantee with that. You're on Google's time, but...
But this is also why you should own and have a verified listing, because if you don't and your competitor wanted to, they could go in and basically steal your listing
yes.
and change the phone number to theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they're getting your business.
Yes.
All right. Now, the next one is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Adding reviews to your listing.
Okay.
We recently had a client he had two locations and then went to merge the two because he is no longer having the two locations, just one. And so we went through the process of making major changes to the address. But the thing with Google is if you get rid of a listing, you cannot keep reviews. It's just a wash. So you have to decide, okay, in this case, you have two listings. Which one do you want to keep? Do you want to let go of the established reviews that you've had for years? Or do you want the listing with less reviews that has the address match and everything? You know, of course, they wanted to go with the one that had the longer reviews on it and thought that he could save the other reviews by copying them and pasting them essentially to the listing that we were working to make all the changes to.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened at the time that we got the address verified, everything went well that way. But once that happened, it marked the one listing as a duplicate, which is natural. And then we're supposed to get rid of that listing. But at that same time, those reviews were added to the listing.
So he was trying to somehow manually move reviews from one to the other.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't even know how he would do that.
just taking screenshots of the reviews and then adding them in. So you have, you know, the person's name and information, you know, that you can add into it. Google saw that and totally red flagged, suspended it. So in that process, it was stressful to work to get, you know, you have to come up with all the paperwork, right? You have to submit the appeal. But then when that happened, it didn't take a total of 48 hours, but it took longer than a day to get it reinstated. But when that happened, then Google didn't trust it at all. So it had the listing with the correct name, the correct address, but the map marker was going to the old address. It had, you know, the repair shop and the old city that it was in. So everything kind of got wonky with it and took a while, you know, to update. But when we went to update the map marker to move it, we had to re-verify the listing and there were no more options left to get it verified.
Wow.
Now the Google's latest thing is you scan a QR code with your phone. And so you just kind of take a little video doing that and you submit that and they usually verify it like that. Well, the only way that he could set up to get it verified was to set up an actual video call with Google. And so one of their representatives, you know, set that meeting and, you know, he had to be there and show them everything that they asked for. And so it just caused a lot of pain and suffering. You know, it wasn't worth it. Like, I understood. And, you know, those are reviews. They're good. They're positive. You want to keep those things. And he really didn't do it thinking anything was wrong.
He wasn't trying to be malicious.
No, but Google takes it as that way. You know what I mean? Like, they don't trust it. That was not good.
So if you ever have to merge two listings, just accept the fact that you're going to lose some reviews.
Yes. It's a part of the game.
Yep. All right. Spam reviews.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So spam reviews definitely can come from hiring these AI companies who will go after, you know, generating reviews for you, things like that. A lot of the times, what's unfortunate with hiring these AI companies is that they promise a good game, a fast return, things like that. But if you're doing that, Google can tell whether it's a real person or not. And they can just, they watch it. They see, you know, if they're uploaded almost similarly to what happened with that listing we were just talking about, too many, too quick, if they're vague. A lot of these emails with these spam companies get reported to Google as spam all the time. So they could be attached to it as well. So it just, you think it's helping your rankings because you're getting all these reviews. Because honestly, when it comes to using those voice search tools like Siri, Alexa, things like that, their search results are very review driven. Even if you have a competitor that you know doesn't perform really good services, doesn't do the same as you or anything like that, but they'll come up above you depending on the reviews. And if they have a 5-star review, even with only one review, and it's a 5-star, they'll, like, Siri will give you them, you know, ahead of you. But so a lot of people will want to generate a lot of good reviews and Google catches on to that. And so then you get flagged and then your listing ultimately gets suspended.
Yeah. So these are ultimately fake reviews.
Yes.
All right. So the next one, two businesses sharing the same address.
Yes.
And this is fairly common.
This is.
Because usually what happens is it is a business where you're like in an office park and they don't have the suites designated or something like that.
Yes.
We have seen it before where it's especially common where you'll have an auto repair shop and then there's a towing company that they own also, but they operate out of the same address.
Yes.
And Google does not like that. They want unique addresses, unique phone numbers.
Yeah.
So in a case like that, like let's say that you own a building, it is a single building, you know, by itself, and you've got an auto repair shop and you start a towing company or you start renting U-Hauls or something like that. You know, see all of these kind of add-on services that you can have in auto repair and you set up two completely different businesses, different names, different Google business profiles, but they have the same address and that's just no good.
And
Google.
The same phone number.
So, you know, what you have to do in that case is you go to the post office and you tell them that you need to split the building and have a suite A and a suite B or a suite 100 and a suite 200 or something like that. And it's a very simple process to do. You know, the post office will do that for you. And then all of a sudden, as soon as you add that suite number, you're no longer the same address.
Right.
And then you've got to have different phone numbers too.
You do.
Don't try to run the businesses with the same phone numbers. And look, there's a lot of people that I'm sure do this and get away with it for a long time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you run the businesses like, you know, Peak Automotive and Towing, and you have one Google business profile for all of it, then that's perfectly fine.
Yes. Yeah.
It's when you start trying to run them as two separate businesses, two different names. And the big thing is two different Google business profiles.
Yes.
That this will get you in trouble.
Yeah.
And then what is our final one?
Our final one is competitor reported you. That a competitor reported you.
And we talked about that already. Typically, if you haven't done anything wrong, what are they going to report?
Right.
You know, so if you're not trying to trick the system, stuff your listing with keywords and stuff like that, there's really nothing there.
Now, and the same with the spam reviews. Like your competitors pay attention to your reviews. Like that's one thing that they are going to be checking regularly.
Yeah. So don't do anything stupid. Don't give your competitors a reason to report you.
Yeah.
And you probably won't get reported.
That's right.
Now, we talked about that. But you talked about like the spam reviews and the AI, you know, all of that. We're seeing more and more of these services that are out there. You know, companies are just latching onto AI, which they should. It just makes sense. But they're building all of these services around AI. And we've had a couple of them now. And we're not going to say the names because we don't want to start getting sued by these companies.
Right.
I'll say that one of them rhymes with Mandy. You know, it's an AI tool that promises negative review removal. And that lasted 3 days before getting the Google business profile shut down.
Yeah.
It was one of our clients and we get notified when something gets added, like as an admin. And we saw that happen and we talked to the client and we're like, hey, you really shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
And 3 days later, the Google business profile was shut down and it was, hey, Shop Marketing Pros, we need you to fix this.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we will do that. And that's the thing, though. It's like the thing with these companies, too, like the one that rhymes with Mandy, is that it was a different company name before that, like who promised that they would do these services, and but they don't. And they have all these issues and get business listings shut down. And so all they do is just come out with a business, a different business name, doing the same thing. And so you really, really have to do your research as well. If you are going to go through with one of these, using one of these companies, you should definitely check reviews on them and check who they were before this name that you're looking into.
Yeah. All right. So we've got other ones that they're producing AI reviews. We've already talked about that.
One is like where you'll find some that will produce content for your listing, for your website and things like that. But the one thing that really scared me about them is that they would automatically post it to your listing. And so, you know, you might think you're hiring them and that's a no-brainer. Like they're going to optimize my listing. They're going to post to it, all of those things. But if you're not checking those things, Google is. They're checking, does this content have human touch? You know, does it sound like a human wrote it? Google has guidelines for everything that you post, whether it's a service description, an update, your name, whatever. And so if they're not following those guidelines, it's going to get suspended.
Yeah. All right. And then the last one of those AI tools, it's named after one of those guys that dresses up in all black and carries nunchucks and
might sound like hi-ya,
throwing stars, and they sneak into people's houses and assassinate them at night and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's named after something like that. And they promise that through artificial intelligence, they're optimizing your Google business profile.
Yes.
And how long did that one last?
That one lasted, oh my goodness. I think that might have lasted for a week. The crazy thing is that when you talk to the clients who are using these services, it's like, okay, what did they say they were going to do to your listing? And it's like, I don't know. They were supposed to optimize it for the keywords I want to target, and I was supposed to be in the map pack.
Like, we already do that.
Right. And it's like, that's not what they did. They got a hold of your listing, and then it got suspended. Like, and they didn't even know what they did. They didn't even know if they did anything, but apparently they did enough to just even be attached to that listing and get it shut down.
Yeah. And I have a feeling that more and more that's going to happen too when Google sees, like, they don't even need to see them do anything.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, oh, you connect this to your listing.
It's a red flag. Yeah. It's absolutely.
So, yeah, that's really the main things that'll cause your Google business profile to get shut down. I'm sure there's probably some more out there, but these are the ones that when you start doing these, you can almost count on it. Like, it's going to get shut down. And we don't want that to happen to you. And also, we just don't want to have to fix it because it's a pain in the butt.
It is.
We don't want you to lose the business that you're going to lose, you know, during that time.
Yeah.
We're big on doing things the right way, doing them the ethical way. Anytime that you try to cheat, and look, we don't try to trick the search engines. No. What we do is we play along with their rules, which basically it's like, hey, build the best website on this particular topic, and we're going to show this to people.
Yeah.
If you're legitimately the best search result for the person who's searching, then we want to show your website to somebody. Yeah. So we work to make those websites the best that they can possibly be. And because of that, we don't cause problems.
Right.
You know, so when you start trying to use AI tools to optimize Google business listings and to get reviews that aren't real and all of that, first of all, it's unethical.
Yeah.
You're not only trying to trick the search engine, but you're trying to trick your clients at that point too.
Yeah.
And it's just wrong. They should be able to go look at your reviews and get a good, honest assessment
and trust
of who you are.
Yeah.
So stop doing that crap.
Don't be a walking red flag.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you again to RepairPal for sponsoring this episode. Again, we are just one of a handful of podcasts on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find the rest of those at aftermarketradionetwork.com. We hope that you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.